Are we ready?
Yep. Yeah, I guess.
No, well, with that enthusiasm, Josh,
this show makes my nose run. I don't know
he
why.
He forgot we were doing this.
Every time he
doesn't want us to hear him on his microphone, and it's a lackluster energy.
I will go all
from
day
you.
Without blowing my nose, and then as soon as we start recording, my nose just starts running. I don't know
and
what
you're
it is
allergic
about
to
you
us.
Two.
You're do allergic you, to the concept.
Do you do a bump of cocaine right before we get started?
I wonder if it's all that pre-show cocaine that I do.
It's the only way you can get the energy up to put up with us. I get it.
If you heard Josh without it, it would be very somber.
I think it's about time to maybe switch to some PCP. So,
hearing Josh retch without the cocaine is more like
it's like
maybe you've done so much, Josh, it's not having the same effect anymore. You're kind of immune to the effects of you're gonna have to switch to a new hard drug, apparently. Exactly.
You need a new hard drug.
Everybody out there, go ahead and email your the drugs you would like me to start taking before the show. Go ahead and send those ideas in.
Or actually send the drugs in.
Yeah, send the drugs right along.
Exactly.
When the people that you know don't like you, and you treasure friendships in, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Hi, guys.
I just called up Josh. Snapdog.
What?
I just gobbled up a snack. The reason I was late for the show is I was eating lunch.
A poppy wiener?
Is that what you call them?
Yeah, those red ones
but it's like a natural casing dog. Poppy.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Like you get from that's what we used to call them, poppy wieners.
Where are you from?
Was the barn in Indiana where you grew up? Between the pickle barrow you were taking to school and the
pickle barrows and poppy wieners. There was a
ring the bell.
Write it down.
That's it.
Write it down.
I think that's the quickest we've got a title of the show ever.
That's got alliteration in it. I'm a fan.
Barrels and poppy wieners.
Poppy wieners.
Poppy wieners. No,
I think
we
should just change the name of our podcast to that. I'm in love with that one.
There was a butcher shop down by in southern Indiana where my parents were from called, I forget what town it was in. Might have been Ligoti or something. Anyway, it was called Merkel's. I believe that's right, Merkel's. Because it's very German in southern Indiana, just like it is in quite a bit of Pennsylvania.
We have a big German contingent middle of central Texas, too. Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
This is a place where my parents used to go every time we take a trip down to see, you know, their relatives, our relatives. Would stop in there and we get, you know, a couple of dozen poppy wieners. They're these long red,
couple,
you know, hot dog. Well, we had a family of nine total.
You mean to take home and cook later?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like right on the spot. You're going to start eating a couple dozen
just
poppy wieners.
Slamming them in your mouth.
Just like
Joey Chestnut. Just like,
right at the fucking counter of a butcher shop. No, we would pack them in the cooler to take home, and we would have this string of wieners in the natural casing, and for whatever reason they were red. The casings were I don't understand what they were made of, but that's what they were. Anywho,
I'm gonna say bloody intestines, but go ahead.
What's the preferred method of cooking a wiener for you guys?
Well, those would be boiled. But when I grew up,
weird.
That's the way I grew up to enjoy them. They were very thin. They were, you know, maximum diameter was like of a nickel. I remember them being even, you know, smaller than that. But anywho, we would get those. My parents would also get a half pound of a Braunschweiger.
Ah, that shit's good.
Hell yeah.
And I don't know if they'd ever get liverwurst, but they would always get Braunschweiger. And they would get head cheese.
I would try head cheese.
Head cheese was so fucking disgusting.
Shocks me. I cannot fathom, Josh, that you've never experienced head cheese. Of all the things that you've put in your mouth hole, I can't believe that head cheese.
I've never seen it. I would try it. You know what
else
I
want to try? Head cheese in your mouth hole?
Have you guys ever tried?
That's another good one.
Have you ever tried pickled pig's feet?
I think I actually have.
I think I have.
Yeah. When what's that young. Like?
My dad would buy those. Yeah.
I mean, you want
it's
to talk about
like anything else that's pickled? And it's just you just happen to be disgusted by the fact that it's literally off of a pig's foot.
Like the big pickle jar, you know, it's just another part of the pork glass
you're not wasting.
Head cheese in your mouth hole.
Hey, I got to think that when we finally have our triumphant reunion at Andy's house to view the gutters. And by that time, I guess the new barbecue slab when Slabgate, blows by.
Oh, we're going to gate the slab.
It's got to be. I think we have to have canapes featuring a tasty beer and some head cheese. I think that has to be episode number one when we return back to normalcy.
Let's do it. And I would. There's a German butcher shop in over in like La Crescenta, right over in Glendale somewhere. Yeah. Can't remember the name of it, but I think there's a place there where we can go and probably have a chance of getting some of that.
I'm down. I'll try some head cheese. I've never heard before. What do you eat it with? Just like.
By the way, that guy talking right there is Josh Fligger. The other guy talking is Larry Morgan. My name's Andy Chanley, and Sam Farmer's on assignment because he's got two big playoff games tomorrow: the AFC and NFC championships. What was your question?
What do you eat? Like, how do you eat head cheese? You just put you eat like in a sandwich?
I eat it right on the toilet or or with my leaning over a trash can because
I throw it into my mouth.
It's more like it is hillbilly pate is what it is.
That's exactly what it is. But I remember like seeing
but no offense to any hillbillies listening to us out there. I have nothing but affection. I mean, I come from a whole line of hillbillies. So does Andy. So
do you know like those soaps where you'll go into a fancy soap place and they'll have like this long loaf of soap and they cut it off soaps are
How do you buy a loaf of soap?
Once again, I'm dying to know where the rural barn area where
soap.
You grew
go
up.
And
no, when you walk down to Mr. Drucker's General Store, grab a pickle barrel, slice off a big hunk of soap
off a
loaf.
Give me a pound and a half of that Irish Spring right there.
Know exactly what I'm fucking talking about here.
And I have room in my pickle bucket for some head cheese if you want to throw half a pound in there.
It's total bullshit. You know what I'm talking about here. When you go into a place and they've got like green ones and blue ones and yellow ones, and they've got different other particles in there, like different chunks of other soaps in there.
Bulk soap.
And shape.
I've never seen a soap loaf where they cut it off.
They cut it off like into bars. And
I understand the concept, Andy.
You've never seen
it. Exist for people who have lived in civilization most of their
lives.
No,
there's a place down on the promenade I know that does this, and they're everywhere. I know that I'm not talking bullshit here.
It might be some artisanal thing that frickin' Gwyneth Paltrow made popular, and all of a sudden it's back.
Is it like a Play-Doh dispenser where they just squeeze it out and it looks like a big blue turd? You just cut it.
They made it in this long, the loaf, like this rectangular thing, and then they just cut off pieces of it as you go in there, like you're buying a hunk of cheese or something. Anyhow, since you don't know what I'm fucking talking about with that doesn't help.
Well, we understand. Again, it's not a concept that's hard to wrap our heads around. A big giant loaf of soap.
How little of a piece of soap can you buy? Because I want to go in with like a dime and be like, can I have a dime's worth? I want. You're a wafer thin piece of soap.
Yeah, is it by the pound? Is it by the inch or so? How do you do it?
How do they measure it?
Is it? He's mad.
Do you say? Listen, I'm gonna go roll around in a barrel pig shit, and I need some soap. How much do you recommend?
Andy, don't have that. We're trying to learn here. Despite our general hilarity and incredulity, we are trying to learn. So please enlighten us.
Are the two fucking done yet? Are you done yet?
Shush.
You done
Josh,
yet?
Shut up.
Right,
let him
you
talk.
Done yet.
I'm not saying anything. Go ahead.
This is way better than gutter talk.
Head cheese is the where they take the cow's head and they basically boil out right. all of the humors inside it. Right. So you get the fats and solids that all come together.
But don't they, don't they put other stuff in there too?
I guess. I don't fucking know. But they
or something?
Well, it's called head cheese, so I'd be surprised if there are a lot of kidneys in head cheese, but otherwise they call it kidney and head cheese. Anywho.
Unless you put a kidney in a pile of gelatinous muck.
They take that stuff and they put it together and then, like, you know, like little parts of coagulate. So you like cut through it and you have a slice of it and there'll be, you know, like the, you know, an oblong of just clear white gif in there, and it's a lot to take for me. It's a bridge too far for me.
It's a lot of parts. I mean, it, depending on how they make it, they put everything from the brain and the eyes and the ears to like innards and all sorts of stuff. You know, the really kind of viscous, gooey part, like when they pull out maybe the kidney, like you said, a kidney, and it's all bloody.
But the gristle that has, and sometimes a little pussy, and and that I would imagine
then
when they
boil
pull
that down, and imagine, you know, skimming the top off that. It's just this this disgusting
curdles up a little bit and he's taking his headphones off Josh tapped out.
I went from wanting to try this to all of a sudden I knew what you were doing, and I'm like, don't paint the picture. Don't paint the picture. And then, and then as soon as you said, somebody said the skimming off the layer, I pictured like this this light pink foam on the top of it.
Okay, nice. Wow.
You did it. The, the pink slime on top of the...
Hooray!
Yeah, he's laughing good. Now.
It's good. Yeah, that's right. Anywho, there's that shit. And you know, it's funny. On, you know, on 88.5 the other day, KCSN, I was a couple weeks ago, I was mentioning this band out of Australia called King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Love it. Love it.
This is a just a great name.
That sounds like a title for one of our episodes that they stole from us.
They've been around for a while, but we were playing a song by them, and I came on and was talking about, you know, that. I'm like, you know, King Gizzard. I said, I bet I'm one of the few people you know who has eaten a gizzard, who has eaten a chicken gizzard. Because back when I was young, when we would go to Kentucky Fried Chicken, which wasn't very often, we wouldn't get fast food, we wouldn't eat out hardly ever. But when we would go, my parents would get a quart of chicken gizzards or chicken livers that were given the 11 herbs and spices treatment and deep fried, right? Battered and deep fried, Kentucky Fried style. So I actually ate them and enjoyed them.
Yeah, they're good in the gravy.
Yeah. So
anytime one of my grandparents made fried chicken back in the day, you know, they'd get the whole chicken and they'd use it. We'd have the gizzard, we'd have chicken livers on the side all the time.
I like fried liver.
Save the neck for me, Clark.
The neck is that's some good meat when you're making your dressing.
Good
stuff.
Yeah. The heart and the liver and the neck all used to get shredded up and chopped very finely and put into the dressing.
Yep,
sage awesome. Dressing. Oh yeah.
All right. Good talk.
Good. I'm glad we talked about that. Larry.
Can we get into tripe now? I want to tell you about my tripe experience.
Oh, God, did you ever read the label of Armor potted meat product?
No.
Oh, yeah. Read the label. There's tripe in it.
Really?
Yeah. There's beef tripe, beef heart, beef.
I've had tripe.
I've had tripe, too. It's probably one of the, if you ask me, the best meal I've ever had in my life, it was... humble brag, in France at this little country restaurant that a local took us to. And I had basically the Frenchy version of head cheese. It was an appetizer that was shaved calf's cheek in like a gelatinous mold. Yep. And it was fantastic. And then I had tripe in this like cream sauce and I knew what I was eating. And it was like heaven in my frickin' mouth. It was honestly one of the best meals I've ever had. Them Frenchies know what they're doing.
I'll tell you what, when we went to a little over 4 years ago, we went to Netherlands, and we stayed out in the middle of nowhere. This place Laura found where it's, I believe it's two or three Michelin stars this guy has.
Oh, wow.
Martin. And he he loved Vivian. Vivian was, you know, 2 years old, not even 2 years old. He's like, Vivian, Vivian. He just, his eyes light up whenever he saw her. But he was so nice, and it was off season, right? It was November. So nobody was staying there. He had, like, there was like one other family that had come to stay at this place out in the middle of nowhere, this country, bed and breakfast. He had his little biodynamic farm across the road, and he would walk over there, grab some eggs right out of the coop, and, you know, carry them in his apron.
Oh, that's awesome.
And, you know, walk across the street in his muck boots and come back in and fix them in the kitchen and bring them out 5 minutes later. It was amazing. Yeah. This guy was amazing. Man. Like the month before, he was cooking for the Netherlands the ambassador. And now he's back and doing this stuff. It was just ridiculous. The guy took such great care of us. But one of the things he brought out was this Dutch hamburger, he called it. It was basically on this, you know, very light piece of bread. It looked like a little White Castle. But there was like this pinkish, beef tartare that he had made and brought that. It was one of the fucking best things I've ever had in my life.
I so miss eating out at good places.
I was just going to say, I miss a restaurant.
Sitting down in a nice restaurant, looking at the menu and being like, what's something new and delicious that I've never had before?
Oh, dude, I'd go to a frickin' Olive Garden right now. I just give me a endless bowl of pasta and breadsticks. I really do miss that.
Yeah. When you're there, by the way,
I don't miss Olive Garden because I don't like my family. So,
all right, fair enough. Larry, though, getting back to something that you brought up a minute ago, gutters.
God.
Yeah. Larry was talking about his gutters before. Was it before we actually signed on? I believe it might have been.
I just said I had gotten a lot accomplished, and we got a bunch of rain on the way. I was very happy. I had told you guys last week. I did not do it immediately after the podcast last week, like I promised, but it did get did. And I got me some clean gutters, nice, which were actually nowhere near as clogged up as I thought they might be. So it was a quick and easy job.
Nice.
Luckily.
I'm here to tell you, we just got overnight our first rainfall since I have declared that major construction operations were over on the gutters.
Mm-hmm. Did you run out?
I am here to tell you, I went out on my back porch and it was bone dry. It was completely dry. It was amazing. I did the Mary Tyler Moore twirl and threw a cap in the air. It was just fantastic. All of the work that I did on my gutters, and I'm assuming I had some rain catchment go on, and there's so much more rain on the way.
You might have some right now. I'm looking at speak.
I'm looking out my window and I see rain.
Oh, you do? Well, let me see.
You guys were bitching last week in the last episode about how it was, 88 and sunshine, which it was at the time. And now there are multiple days of rain in the forecast.
Well,
the timing's perfect.
Here on my AccuWeather or whatever it is, it says a rain for at least 60 minutes.
Ooh.
Right now. Oh, good. Yeah.
Right. How about that? That's exciting.
All right. Maybe you can drag the microphone out there and let us hear it trickle down the pipe.
What I'm trying to say is I made this conquest. I successfully did it.
Yes.
Could not be happier about it. I'm just on cloud nine.
We are too. And
I think we actually need to congratulate him. Andy, congratulations.
I feel like we did, and I thought we were done, and I'm not complaining here because I am excited and happy for you that you accomplished this, but I really thought it would never come up again.
I
apologize for bringing up my gutters because that triggered him to talk about his gutters. And yes, your gutters are better than mine. Okay.
Well, I think when Andy completes a task like this, it's like, I feel like we all complete it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like a part of us has put up the gutters.
No, we've all been dragged through hell. So yeah, the fact that it's done and accomplished makes me feel a great sense of relief. Absolutely. Congratulations,
Andy. That is heartfelt and really welcome. Thank you for that, for the both of you, because I feel like you really dug down deep for that.
I did.
Now then,
uh-oh, hold on. His eyes are watering again. Hold on.
Oh, it hurt. Okay, I'm back. I've never spewed so much bullshit in my life. All right, go ahead.
Now then, something you brought up just a moment ago, Josh.
Oh, geez.
The concrete slab.
Oh, good. Let's talk about that. Let's move on to this.
After we talked last week, I laid 3/4 of a fucking ton of concrete. Dang. It ended up being 15 bags,
Jesus.
15 90-pound bags of concrete that I put in that slab.
So you got like a parking lot in your backyard now.
I was going to say, is it a half-court basketball slab? What the hell, man?
That's just it. It's like 25 square feet, but it, 4 inches deep. It ended up being, first I got 10 bags. I'm like, 10 bags should do it. Then I went back later in the day and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do this tomorrow morning. I won't want to stop in the middle of it.
Please tell me you didn't carry them down the street.
One at a time. Yeah. No. Anyway, I go back and I get 3 more, right? I'm thinking, I'm going to make sure I have 3 more. Then I get to the end of like the 12th bag. I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to come up short. And so I say to Laura, I'm like, could you, honey, go down the corner and get me another bag? And she goes down and gets one, brings it back to me, and I mix that and put it in. I'm like, okay, I'm going to need one more. Well, here's the thing that Low Energy Mike didn't tell me. Here's the thing that none of you motherfuckers told me is that concrete shrinks as it dries.
How the hell would we know? the last time I dabbled in concrete?
Nobody ever told me that the concrete shrinks.
Well, I think everything shrinks when it dries. Hence, drying is the evaporation of liquid.
That's what she said.
Everything shrinks when it dries.
When it dries. Yeah. But I have is a lovely, lovely, well done, nicely edged, perfectly executed slab exactly where I want it, with a couple of low spots that are like 1/4 inch low that kind of hold puddles of water that it will, dry up eventually, but I'm not happy with it.
Well, then how do you, what were you supposed to do? What was the, how
go
do you,
up, just go up a little bit higher, like err on the side of going,
too much,
a 1/16 or 1/4 inch higher, and then that would settle and I wouldn't have to worry about it, I guess.
It would have been even, or?
Well, then you would just scrape the top off with a board and then it would have been even?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. And so that's what ended up happening. Anywho.
Well, it sounds to me like you're going to have to tear it all out and start over again.
No. Frankly.
Well, here's the problem is.
I've got a solution.
If you put your grill on that, your hot dogs are going to roll all over the place.
My poppy wieners are going to roll right into it.
You're going to be wearing poppy wieners all over your chest.
That's right. They're going to fall in and you're going to have singed poppy wieners.
Not to worry. I've got a solution in mind.
All right.
Okay, good. Thank God.
What I've found, I knew this all along because I've used it before, but there is self-leveling concrete, some concrete resurfacer. And it's much more, it's pourable. You mix it. There's no rock in it, like usual concrete.
Add water.
I'm going to take that, add a little water, mix it up in a bucket, mix it with a drill, and a mixing blade. It's going to come. It's going to be just like pudding. And I'll pour that on exactly where I want it. And it'll cover that exact area, fill in those low spots. It'll be absolutely perfect.
There.
I can't pour it for a fucking week because it's going to rain.
Right.
But when I get to it, it's going to be just great.
Adhere to other concrete?
Yes. That's what it's meant to do. It's what it's designed for.
Well, then that thing will be nice and finished. So not only should we be able to celebrate the reunion of your artificial friends, but we should be able to have a little head cheese plate and some poppy wieners on the grill. I think we just make it a party.
Let's just do it.
Get some of that soda you had last week. What was it that?
Oh, some rock and rye.
I think we're going to maybe do a beer episode that episode.
That's true. Yeah, screw that.
Yeah, but you gotta, if you're going to have German meats and sausages, I think you got to have German beer.
I think we should just make it because all these German meats are definitely, all this stuff, head cheese definitely falls into old people food. That we can just make it an old people food episode. Get all the old people candies, get some butter pecan ice cream.
An old people food episode?
Yes.
I like it. Good. What would be the best beer to go with that? I'm trying to think of what did my dad drink Lone Star, and that's just bad.
Lowenbrau.
You gotta have a German beer for this. We've gotta get, some Hockershore, I think.
Jesus.
Get something from old Munchin. Anywho, what else?
I don't know what the hell he's saying right now. Are you having a stroke, Andy? I'm not sure if any of those syllables meant anything.
Munich. Okay. Munich, right. Germany.
Got it.
Okay. They call it München in the German language.
Yeah, I'm sure that's incorrect. Go ahead. What's next? What are we doing now?
He said what I thought.
Do you want to look it up, Larry?
No. We have business to attend to. We have a fun episode. We have a fun episode to go here.
Well, why start now?
Oh, boy.
One last thing on that. I mixed those 15 bags, those 15 90-pound bags, three quarters of a ton of this shit. Boy, are my arms tired. Yeah. Oh, it was such a workout. My back, I couldn't believe I made it through it.
I was going to say, anywho, I remember.
You're all swole right now.
I get done with this, and I text my contractor friend who's done, all the work at my house over the years. And I've known him for 20 years. And I text him and I say, dude, I just mixed 15 90-pound bags of concrete to fill in some patio slab on my own. I feel manly. His answer was, yeah, I got a machine to do that. All right. Fair enough. But nothing this week, guys. I know you were wondering what would I be working on this week. Well, it's rainy, so I've started working on my taxes. That's what I'm doing.
Oh man, yeah, that's my next big chore as well. Oh,
just getting everything, just getting the receipts. I keep every receipt I get all year long, and dividing those up into piles, and taking all of my bills that I've paid, and putting those in one of those variegated folders, and all of that shit. Yeah, I'd rather get my feet scraped, but that's what I'm doing right now. So
I just make my numbers up now because it just goes much faster. It just goes a whole lot faster.
You're honest. That is a good idea.
Yeah, I just make them up. If they're kind of close to what they were last year, nobody's going to say anything. So I'm sure it's fine.
All right. Well done. Mm-hmm. Well played. Okay, Larry, it's time to hand the baton over to you and let you take control, because this is a segment that you assigned to us. You floated the idea for this last week, and it's the idea of the guilty pleasure, the song that if you were at an intersection in a 5-liter Mustang and you had the top down and there were other people around that would hear you, this is probably not the song that you would want to be jamming to look quote unquote, air quote, cool.
Yeah, exactly. And the people who know us, know our background, know where we all work together at the Sound, that sort of thing. They look upon us as, look, let's face it. We're hardcore rockers, man. We just are. We live the lifestyle. We love the music. And all kidding aside, also, we have widely eclectic tastes. I have to say, what's so great about this group of songs is how dead on we all were in doing. I don't think we even set these parameters exactly. We all three picked both of our songs in the exact same way. One, a slightly more upbeat contemporary pop song, and the other, pure fucking schmaltz. It's hilarious. they fall in line so completely, and I love all of these selections so much. So I think I want to start song.
Okay, I was going to say, let's do them by the genre type, so we all get all of our upbeat songs and then all the schmaltzy songs in the same.
Yeah, I agree. Why don't you go ahead and start with your pop song? Josh. And by the way, just so you know, I for this one, I went in and picked Hooks. For yes, your schmaltz, yes, Andy, yeah, it was good. A little tougher to figure out where to go. So I don't have the beginning of the song here. I went in and I picked the hooks because that seemed more appropriate.
All right, so this is my pop song, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this
you,
is...
You want to intro this
well,
or...
I'm just gonna, okay, so I would say as a maybe 13, 14-year-old boy in Western Pennsylvania, like it wasn't very keen or popular to come out and say you would like a song like this. But I just remember a span of my life that this guy had a song that I was just stuck in my, would get stuck in my head every 2 months for about 5 years. It was just like, it was like every time you turn around and then it would come on MTV and I'd be standing there watching it. And I'd never admit to anybody that I was enjoying this, but deep down inside, it's still singing in my head. And I don't know why until I like grew up and I, you know, just got a little bit more mature about it. I was like, you know what? Screw it. That's good music. I like it.
I have a guess what this is. All right, well, I'm going to write it down.
All right. I don't think you're going to get it right, Andy.
I probably won't, but probably just in case
the song.
All right.
Hold on.
Okay, go ahead. You scribble away. Would you say this is your favorite song from this artist, Josh? Or is it just...
Well, that's the other thing. This is what was the first one that popped in my head that I remember just always singing.
Because it's an unusual choice, is what I'm saying.
But no, it's not like you'll understand once. There's so many that were great that I... Go ahead.
I won't show you yet. I don't know why I feel this, but I almost went that direction with my choice, and I'm just curious.
Yeah.
You said MTV and you saw it, and I just wanted to write down something in case I had a psychic moment and wanted to share it. So, go ahead.
We'll see. All right. So here is Josh's first choice, his guilty pleasure pop song. David, Leave Me Alone, so Michael good. Jackson.
And this will be in my head for, now that I heard that, this is... And do you remember the video?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
it was all animated. And, yeah, with a monkey and the elephant man bones he was dancing with.
yes. And prosecutors chasing him.
Exactly. But here's the deal. It was like, it was almost like seasonal, like... He would come out with one or two videos and those would be on MTV nonstop. And there'd always be some hook in that song that you'd hear and you'd just be walking around and be like, smooth criminal. It'd be in your head all the time. He did that for about 10 years.
Turns out the guy was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, not much of a man, but not much of a good guy, but you know. But
no, there's some questionable behavior over the years. Absolutely. It's problematic.
I'm talking about the music, not about the guy. So,
yeah. No, I you know, it's funny because so many people talk about Thriller and Off the Wall, and I never really hooked into any of those songs as much. Maybe also it was because I played them so much on the radio when they were brand new. It just burned them out. But I go for the if I were to pick two favorite Michael Jackson songs, they'd be kind of schmaltzy, frankly. Man in the Mirror, I think, is a great hook, and I love that song. And the frickin' song from the Free Willy movie, whatever that one is at the end of Free Willy, the whale movie. I love that song.
Yeah, and it's an interesting story with him because he was never convicted of anything, and I don't doubt... necessarily people's accounts, and who knows in the final summation. I think that if he was allowed to be who he really truly was in his heart from youth when he was a child, I think that he would have ended up being a different person and a healthier person.
That's a deep, dark story that we'll never know the truth about.
Yeah, we'll never know exactly what happened there. And people are so very divided on that.
Can't see it, Andy. What did you write down?
I wish you could read it.
What does it say? Can't see it.
It says MC Hammer Pray.
That's pretty good.
We got to pray just to make it today. That's why we pray.
Wow, what a pull.
Oh, yeah.
Damn.
Wow. Shows you what you think of me.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, let's do your pop song next. I thought this was an interesting choice. This was barely on my radar. I do have... remember this coming out, and it's very much of a time too.
Yes,
with just the wording and the title and the people in it. It's a microcosm of a certain era of pop music.
It very much is. I remember when I first heard it. It was 2000. 17, summer of 2017. I think I was headed down in an Uber downtown, probably for one of the Pershing Square concerts or something. And so I'm riding in an Uber, and the music choice is not mine, probably listening to, Kiss FM or Amp or whatever. And so the song comes on. This is a song that has had over 500 million views on YouTube, right? Wow, this is a mega hit. But I hear the song, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? Because God help me, I kind of like it. It turns out it is Calvin Harris with Pharrell and Katy Perry and Big Sean. This, my friends, is Feels. Don't be afraid to catch feels. Ride your cup and chase through. Hey. I know you ain't afraid to pop pills. Hey. Baby, I know you ain't scared to catch feels. Feels with me. Yeah, Katie doing her best Gwen Stefani there, by the way. It's really weird.
It's which Pixar movie was this
so
in?
Good.
It's just love the production on this, I gotta say. It's a really fun song. It's a bop, as the kids say.
Oh, God. I just love it. I don't know. There's something about every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, this makes me happy.
Yeah, again. Says, you can't be pissed off when that thing's playing. Imagine yelling at your kids with that playing in the background. You just look like a monster.
Everything he's done, Pharrell, whether it's gangster rap or it's shit that he did, for the Minions, those things that made those movies a little bit more tolerable,
right.
At least for a while until you got sick of hearing those songs. The pop stuff. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Right, Larry.
That's really fun.
What you got?
Here's mine, and I have a very distinct memory of this one. It goes back a little bit further, but I was working at Star 98.7, which is now Alt 98.7, and I was actually working with my current boss at K-Earth, Chris Ebbett, who was the music director at Star at the time.
Oh,
and
I'd forgotten that.
Yep.
That's where he met Angela Parilli, his wife.
Who is now his wife. She was the program director while he was the music director. And and Star at the time was a kind of adult alternative. It was like alternative pop. They were trying this kind of, it was a hybrid thing. And so this song did not fit, but he pulled me I was just off the air one day, and he said, come in here and listen to the song. I'm trying to get Angela to tell me if she thinks we should play this. Cause we were really struggling to kind of like, what's our lane? It was all this, Lilith Fair stuff and Hootie. And it was just like, it was so white and so lame at the time. And it was hard. There was no kind of up-tempo, I'll Be by Edwin McCain, every 3 hours, like, kill me now. And he brought me into his music room in his office. I guess you'd call it an office. And he played this for me. And I kind of jumped up out of my chair because it had immediately this hook that I was just so connected to. And I'm like, who is this? What is this? And he was like, we're never going to play this, but this may be the greatest pop song ever written. And it was this song. I mean, I can't get tired of this song. I think it's one of the greatest hooks I've ever heard. It's ridiculous. And these guys are an adorable little family, and they've grown up to be lovely young ladies, and I think they're doing very well. Hanson Mbop, for anybody who just doesn't know.
What year was that, 96?
I want to say, 96, 97, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. I play it on K-Earth for my 90s at 9 feature every once in a while, and when I'm in the studio, it's like, I put that fucking volume up all the way. It's like, I can't not like this song.
That
it's
would
one of
suck
those.
To be the oldest brother in that band, because all the chicks dug the youngest one, and the oldest brother is like 6 years older. he's like 16. He's not getting any action because his little 8-year-old brother's.
It was the middle brother who was like the heartthrob, okay. and the younger was the drummer. And now, when you see them, they're like middle-aged men, and the little tiny drummer guy is like this big bulky dude. It's like, oh shit.
To see them sing that song these days is a different experience.
Exactly. Though. It'd be very depressing. It'd be the complete opposite effect of Andy's song. I'd just be like, oh.
All right, so guilty pleasure songs. Now let's get into the schmaltz. I can't tell you how delighted I am. I mean, we inadvertently picked the exact same lane, and I think, and the great thing about these songs is schmaltzy, yes, and are they, you know, are they of a certain era and a certain time, and maybe they've been considered probably incorrectly, you know, chick songs or whatever, but you cannot deny that the three artists we pick here are great songwriters, terrific vocalists. These songs have resonance, and yeah, they're schmaltzy, but there's nothing wrong with that once in a while. And Josh, go ahead. Do you want to intro yours?
This is just one of about all of the songs this guy sings that I like. And you know what? I would go see him in concert. That's how much I would. Granted, I'd wear a Ronald Reagan mask like Point Break, but he's just got so many good songs that I don't think he gets enough credit, really.
He still packs them in when there were concerts up until just, you know, early last year. Yeah. He was still filling arenas.
Oh, so, good.
So you're not alone, man. You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
You know I can't smile when I'm
I mean, come on.
He's great. Barry Manilow's great.
There's no denying the guy can write a song, a melody. It just oozes out of him. And that's maybe one of my least favorite, but I get it.
From the time that I texted that title into my phone to give to you, that song has been, that hook has been a loop in my head. Literally last night, I woke up in the middle of the night, took a leak and laid down and was trying to sleep and was like, I can't.
Dude. It's just, there are so many songs of his. I write the songs so that make the whole world see.
And, except, ironically, he did not write that one. But anyway.
At the Copa.
Oh, yeah.
Copacabana. He wrote the American Bandstand theme.
Yep.
At the Bandstand. Yep. Bandstand. We're going hopping.
There's like a bunch of, if you just go to like his greatest hits, you'll be like, oh, I forgot about, oh, that one too. It's just, there's so many songs that you've heard that you just forgot about that were great songs with great, just easy hooks that get stuck in your head, and he's great. I love that guy.
And not Mandy. Only just to go, to Mandy. Show you how great. What?
Mandy. Yeah.
Oh, Mandy, of course. Weekend in New England. I mean, there's my sister was a huge Barry Manilow guy, so all of and also the artist that I'm about to play in a little bit, but I heard all these songs, you know, residually, you know, just kind of by, and I got hooked on him. By the way, Barry Manilow, talk about a hook writer. The great bit he used to do in concert, I don't know if he does anymore, but he was a very prolific jingle writer before he hit a big as a songwriter. And so, like a good neighbor, I am stuck on Band-Aid. You deserve a break today, McDonald's.
Yeah, wow.
You did. All Barry Manilow songs.
I did not know You Deserve a Break today.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, he could have made a fortune alone just on writing stuff for commercials.
Do you remember that HBO live concert special that was on like every other weekend on like during the early 80s, mid 80s? My parents played that concert every single, like it was on like every other Saturday night, and it was like a two and a half hour just Barry Manilow concert, and they would put that on and put it on all the speakers in the house, and that's how I got exposed to him. And it's just like he was always being on the record player. He just always made my parents dance. He was like one of the very few guys that I would see my parents dance to.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah. Did you ever think we would talk this much about Barry Manilow on this podcast?
Nope. Not from where we started.
All right, Andy.
Not from Poppy Wieners.
Andy, how about your... Oh, I hear that Barry really likes Poppy Wieners.
Yeah.
Andy, what about your schmaltzy song?
Yeah. So my sisters... liked the alt country artists, the Neil Youngs of the world, and also the Eagles and the, you know, Michael Martin Murphy and that kind of stuff. They were big fans of that. And I remember my sister Rita really liking this guy, and my sister Angie also had a couple of his albums. He has some sensational albums, has some number one hits, and if you look on his albums, there is just a cavalcade of fucking Hall of Famers on them. On this album, that we take this from, it's the title track. Joe Walsh is playing bass on this song, and he produced the whole thing. All of the Eagles sing background on it at some point. I mean, it's just, you know, and all of these session musicians, so many great players on the song. But Sam Kinison had in his act at one point talking about, you know, the story about the family that sued Ozzy Osbourne over Suicide Solution because they claimed that it made their child commit suicide. He's like, really? So do I get to sue this guy for turning me into a pussy in the 70s? This is the guy he was talking about. Dan Fogelberg, Souvenirs.
Yeah.
Let's hear a little more. Just a little more.
Yeah.
About the time
About the time I feel like Dan Fogelberg is a little too wimpy for me, I start crying during Same Old Lang Syne. I'm like,
dude, shut up. I'm not crying. You're crying. Same Old Lang Syne is a fucking work of art.
Yeah.
Run for the Roses, Leader of the Band. Leader of the Band, yeah. He wrote for his dad. His dad was a band leader. And it's him saying to his dad, this is what you gave me. Other people chose to do other things, but I chose to do this because of you. And, you know, I don't say I love you enough. It was like, my God, I'm going to fucking cry. And he had that one and you know, Part of the Plan and Longer, that flugelhorn in it and shit. Just hit after hit after hit. And it's all just straight up pussy music.
Well, if you were paying attention at the time, if you were man enough to admit that you were into Dan Fogelberg, the girls would be pretty okay with you. It turns out you're, you know, like emotional and sensitive. And
go to a Dan Fogelberg concert because that is a target-rich environment.
There's not a lot of men there. Not a lot of manly men there hanging with Dan Fogelberg.
I imagine Dan Fogelberg isn't played at many keg parties out in the woods.
Wouldn't that be a great scene? It's like, you know, the Aerosmith Toys in the Attic album fades and it's like, hey guys, I got one.
Right. If I can go back in time.
Somebody's doing a keg stand.
Swear to God, I remember it like one Halloween passing out candy and these kids were coming along and this girl came up and I'm in high school, right? And she comes up and she's my age and she sees I was wearing, which my mom got at like a garage sale or something, this 3/4 sleeve Journey t-shirt and I'm wearing it. And she's like, oh, I like Journey. I like that guy there. And point, I'm like, what was I fucking thinking? I should have worn. When I met Steve Perry, I'm like, dude, I don't. It's like a talisman that you wear around. It's an aphrodisiac. He's like, you know how many people have told me they got laid because they took a girl to a Journey concert?
See, a Dan Fogelberg t-shirt, though. That's
what I'm saying. If I could go back in time, right? If I could go back knowing what I know now and relive my life. Do you ever have that dream, that fantasy? Yeah. What if I knew everything I know now and could go back and be a child again and go through everything? Would I do it? I think I would. And here's the thing. I wouldn't go back and buy tickets to see Ozzy Osbourne at the height of his powers, in the early 80s or what. I wouldn't do that. I'd go back and buy Dan Fogelberg tickets and go there and comfort of the girls that are there going, it's really beautiful, isn't it?
A Dan Fogelberg t-shirt might attract women, but it also attracts raw eggs from seniors.
You're not going to be as attractive to the girls with most of your face swollen up because of the beating.
All over the back.
And, you don't want to buy any of the merch. You just want to go there and be, a grief counselor.
We're terrible. All right.
What you got for your last one?
Mine falls right in line with this. And I will say that while schmaltzy, I think that people have grown to recognize that the vocalist here is maybe one of the great voices of all time, just from a purity standpoint. And this was, like the others, Dan Fogelberg, Barry Manilow, Captain and Tennille. These were songs that were coming out of my sister's room all the time. And this band was in constant rotation. And
I know. I feel like I know what this is going to be. We'll find out for you.
And Josh was, I think, in the right ballpark. These were the kind of artists that kids and parents, especially when this was new, could actually share because it didn't turn parents off. And I remember my mom loving this band. And now there is infinitely more respect for the arrangements they did and the songwriting they did. I think you'll know, you probably know who the artists are. But it was this song in particular that struck me because I thought it was an amazing vocal and a beautiful song, but they threw in this random but really cool fuzz guitar solo at the end, and this is the song.
I'll say goodbye to love. No one ever cared if I should live or die. Time and time again.
I mean, Karen Carter, I mean, it's a tragic story. It gives me chills for a couple of different reasons, but her voice is so pristine, and it took a while, but people did recognize just in the simplicity of how she delivered a vocal, it was unmatched. But the arrangement she did with her brother Richard Carpenter, the harmonies in these things, and there is this crazy fuzz guitar solo that comes in at the end. It goes for like 3 minutes. I mean, it just threw the fate of the song. But I freaking love this song. It really moves me. And she's such a tragic story. Just on its own. So it's got that kind of weight to it, too.
What's the title of this one again?
Goodbye to Love.
Goodbye to Love. That's right.
Yeah. So, The Carpenters, of course, anybody who doesn't know that.
I thought you were going to play ABBA.
Could have been in there.
I know. Could've I thought you were going to whip in some poppy ABBA song. And I was like, you know what? That's a good one.
I was hoping for Starland Vocal Band. Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight.
I never need to hear that song again. That is not a guilty pleasure at all.
Oh, that's great. I remember reading a story about Karen Carpenter. What is it? Drummer Magazine. They had a poll in the early 70s, like 1973 or something, of who their people's favorite drummer was. And I guess the Carpenters fans like stuffed the ballot box and they beat John Bonham. Karen Carpenter won it. And John Bonham made a statement saying, "I'd like it known that I, John Bonham, was beaten by Karen fucking Carpenter as best drummer." It's pretty great. Well done, though, Larry. Thank you for aggregating those, as always.
Yeah, fun. That was nice. But see how on the mark we all were in terms of, and without even consulting each other on just kind of nailing both sides of the musical spectrum. That's
it's
so
like
much
we
fun.
We can complete each other's
sandwiches.
So do we want to talk about what the next, the next song topics might be? What do we have any written down?
You had another one that you were thinking of.
We've had a few suggestions. If anybody wants to weigh in,
we would love to hear that.
Actually, some of our best ideas have come from listeners. So yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. If you would like to hear for our February, you know, we have to do love songs, I think, for Valentine's.
Oh, that has to be it.
Right?
Love
songs.
But
we'd still love to get some suggestions for those, you know, middle months that don't have anything connected to them.
Okay. Well, I think it's got to kind of do the same thing here. I think it's got to be best sincere love song.
Right.
And best totally schmaltzy horseshit love song.
Well, you mean something that maybe has a little more weight to it and something that is just pure, like,
fluff.
Fluffy.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm going to struggle with this.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you don't believe in love? Is that it, Josh?
I just don't believe in love songs.
Are there no Alice in Chains love songs?
I was going to say, can we do like Cherry Pie? Would that count?
I think something overtly sexual is perfectly fine if that's all you can come up with.
That's good stuff.
She's you know what? Cherry Pie.
Another way that they could tell us, Larry, about their idea is by calling us with it.
Oh, yeah.
They can call us on the Yaff line. That Yaff line number is 626-657-6428. 626-657-6428. Or amuck PM hat. We have one call. Would you like to hear it real quick?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let's have this happen here.
Hey, guys. It's Michael. Super boring propane fact. Don't do the cylinder exchange. It's a ripoff. And stop saying butane, Larry. It makes you seem older than you are. And also, I'm sorry about the PTSD from Darwin Whistlebottom's braingasm that you received. And also, Josh, I noticed that too with the can. I think they're making it out of something new. I was trying to open tomato sauce cans, and I was getting pissed off. Could not do it. And then I opened some older cans. No problem. So I think it's big can.
It's big can.
It's big can trying to bring me down. I knew it.
Big can.
I don't stop calling me old. If you guys can't figure out how to open these newfangled modern day cans what do you do? I don't understand.
It's big can trying to slip something underneath the nose. They change the design or something.
I have had zero issue opening a can of anything lately.
Well, how old are anything. The cans? How old were the cans?
Brand new stuff I'm buying off the shelf. What do you think? I've been saving potted meat for 20 years, Josh?
Maybe some of them little Vienna sausages.
Well, by the way, those potted meat cans probably have that little ring where you just peel off the top.
Like the old-time pudding cups. Man, how smart was that? Let's give like a six-year-old this razor-sharp pudding cup and have them open up at lunch. Wonder how kids come home with stitches every night.
And here's the bullshit about...
And lick it. They lick it so they cut their tongue wide open.
Oh, God.
Not that I've ever done that.
You know the Vienna sausages?
Yeah.
Yes.
Here's the bullshit about those. They're just made from the other shit pressed into a tube.
Right.
Because you try to get a Vienna sausage out of it. Yeah. You try to get a Vienna sausage out of the can, and it just mashes like a little gnat or something. It comes apart.
I have to think the city of Vienna is not happy that those sausages are named after them. I'm sure they have better meats than that.
I'm sure there are sausages that are pissed off.
Exactly. Because they're not even really... When was the last time you had one of those? It's kind of been like 10 years.
It was pretty common when I was a kid. It was an easy,
it's like just
portable lunch, but
vinegar,
man.
Hot dog, isn't it? Is that kind of what it was like? This weird.
No,
tangy...
it was the same shit. It was the same. Oh yeah, it had the same taste as the Armor Pot of meat product.
It was just pressed into a tube.
Yeah, it was just a bland tube of meat in nondescript juice that maybe was once water. It was, and there the flavor was like. How would you describe
like
it, Andy?
Vinegar
it was like
pus.
No, not I don't think vinegary at all.
Okay,
it was like
maybe.
It was the blandest piece of meat you would put in your mouth. There was nothing to it except a giant bash. They would put as much salt in there as they thought some human child could actually withstand before dying.
Yeah, there's plenty of sodium in it.
If your lunch consists of a can of Vienna wieners and a can of the pudding things. I mean, you're not living a very good life, are you?
That was my childhood. I'm lucky to be alive. I'm lucky I still have both my legs at this point.
We were poor. That's the shit that we had to eat.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
Here's what Armor Pot of meat product was. It's a can full of pink slime.
Really?
It's congealed pink slime in a can that you can spread on a cracker and eat.
Okay, that was my question, is because I've never had one, but I know what Vienna
live a little. Go get a can. Go down to the 99-cent store.
Hey,
and get yourself a can.
Add that on the list for the head cheese day.
Yeah. Just don't forget, Josh, before you eat it, just skim that pink layer of just like gooey, pussy stuff off the top. Yeah. Just
Just go ahead. Where are the people?
the foamy, yellowy pink.
Oh, he's not going to be around. Okay.
The dog vomited again this week.
What did it smell like?
No.
It didn't smell. I was on the floor, and it puked right beside me, and I saw it, and I closed my eyes.
Were there chunks in it?
I didn't stare at it because I caught it out of the corner of my eyes, and I saw that it was something, and I heard a dog go like that, and I just screamed for Cindy, and she came.
Oh my gosh.
How can people get a hold of you so they can send you pictures of pus
and wieners? JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
Larry?
Yes, send your pictures of your potted meat to yourartificialfriends@gmail.com. That is our official email, YAFSAC. And you can follow me on Instagram @TheLarryMorgan.
I'm there too. It's Andy Chanley on Instagram. I'm also on the Twitter, Andy_Chanley, and on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley.
Hey, send us your song ideas. Oh, no, we are doing. Yeah, but send it through us anyway. We'll put them
in. Oh, yeah, other song ideas?
No,
sure.
We got a whole freaking year to fill out here.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
When the people that you know don't like you and treasure friendship sin, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Alexa, add potted meat.
your smart fridge will do that for you when you finally get
it.
It will not recognize it. It will refuse to recognize the potted meat. It'll just ignore it.
It'll be a force field. It won't let you put it in.
It won't make eye contact with it.
That's all right. Apparently, that stuff never needs to be refrigerated, so you're fine.
Yeah.
Good.
Long shelf life.
All right, boys. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye, y'all.